An accidental fall claims the life of an engineer at Kennedy Space Center. All F-35s are grounded. And an assistance fund has been founded for Kyle and Amanda. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 16, 2010. A United Space Alliance worker was killed Monday morning in a fall at Kennedy Space Center's Launch Pad 39A. NASA says emergency medical personnel responded but were unable to revive the man. United Space Alliance yesterday identified him as an engineer, James Vanover. All work at 39A was suspended for the rest of the day, and counseling and other employee assistance was being provided to workers. The incident is under investigation. NASA officials say the launch of Endeavour will not be delayed. The Pentagon has grounded the entire fleet of F-35 Lightning II Joint Strike Fighters after an A model developed an oil leak and suffered a double generator failure in flight last week. The setback comes despite good progress reported in flight testing. The plane which suffered the failure landed safely at Edwards Air Force Base following the incident. Reuters reports the grounding was described as routine by Lockheed and Air Force officials. Lockheed spokesman John Kent did not offer any specific timeline for a resumption of flight testing. He said the aircraft is designed with multiple redundancies to keep the aircraft safe in these types of situations. A fund has been established to assist Kyle and Amanda Franklin during recovery from injuries they suffered when the biplane they were flying during an air show went down during the performance. The Commemorative Air Force Rio Grande Wing, which is the sponsor of Air Fiesta, reports on its website that Kyle's condition has improved, but Amanda is still listed in stable condition, and her injuries are severe. Donations should be sent to the Moonlight Fund, P.O. Box 1299, Bandera, Texas 78003. Please specify Franklin Fund on the check's memo line. Donations can also be made through PayPal at moonlightfund.org. Up next on ANN, there may be a competing offer for Cirrus. Boeing reports another order for 777s, and the O'Hare expansion may finally get done. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 16th. I'm Paul Plagg. Brian Foley Associates says it's working quickly to put together an alternative offer for Cirrus Aircraft in time to head off a sale to China Aviation Industry General Aircraft Limited. Foley explains, quote, "Cirrus is an American success story that started in a humble dairy barn, introduced important new technologies, and rocketed to market leadership. So it's not surprising that our U.S. aviation community would take an interest in this pending sale. But what surprised me was the speed, passion, and near unanimity of the feedback we received. I didn't talk to anyone who wanted to see Cirrus shipped overseas," unquote. Company President Brian Foley says that while no individual investor stepped up to bid for the company, he believes there could be a role for him as a licensed securities representative to put a group together. Quote, "And we may well have time to do that because the China deal still requires some pretty complicated government approvals. The aviation community is telling us it's time to restore and keep Cirrus here as an American treasure. I'm in a good position to try, at least, to make that happen," unquote. Maybe there is an economic recovery underway. It's nice to see the airlines buying planes again. Cathay Pacific Airways, based in Hong Kong, ordered a total of 25 new planes last week, including 10 Boeing 777-300ERs and 15 Airbus A330-300s. With this order, Cathay Pacific will increase its 777-300ER fleet from 36 to 46, four of which will be leased. The Airbus A330-300s are scheduled for delivery starting in 2013. It's taken more than two decades, but the ugly battle to expand capacity at Chicago O'Hare International Airport may finally be into its endgame. In late 2009, the village of Bensonville, which faced seeing hundreds of homes bulldozed and others subject to greatly increased noise, threw in the towel after watching its municipal debt climb and boarded up homes sit waiting to be bulldozed. The city of Chicago pledged $16 million for noise mitigation in schools and those homes that remain standing. But then, United and American Airlines fought over what their share of the costs for the expansion should be. That piece fell into place in the last few days. Representatives of the city and the airlines and U.S. Senators Richard Durbin and Mark Kirk announced a $1.17 billion agreement on Monday that will allow the modernization program to move forward, add runway capacity, and prevent flight delays from growing to unacceptable levels. Mayor Richard Daley and United CEO Jeff Smisek praised the role of U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood in bringing the sides together. There are details that remain to be finalized, and the parties have agreed to return to the table no later than March 1st of 2013 to negotiate the terms and timing of the remaining airfield components of the program. Still ahead, Cold War spy technology helps in Japan. The U.S. Midwest is already sandbagging for spring floods, and sometimes even 64 inverted spins isn't enough. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, March 16th. I'm Paul Plagg. The U.S. Air Force first employed the U-2 spy plane in the 1960s during the Cold War, and you don't hear much about it these days. But while many of the surveillance and reconnaissance tasks it once performed are now done at a small fraction of the cost by satellites or UAVs, there are times when old-school, silver-based film photography is the right tool. The crisis in earthquake and tsunami-ravaged Japan is one of those times. A U-2 from the 5th Reconnaissance Squadron stationed at Osan Air Base in South Korea is augmenting an RQ-4 Global Hawk in damage assessment work to aid response planners. The optical bar camera captures high-resolution, broad-area imagery, bringing back 2 miles of raw film for developing after each mission. The processing of the film will be done at Beale Air Force Base in California, following 4 to 5 days of overflights. News coverage of monster winter storms across the U.S. has faded now, but now all that snow is going to melt. Spring flooding of the Mississippi River at St. Paul, Minnesota is now considered all but certain, and work crews from the Metropolitan Airports Commission have begun deploying temporary sections of flood wall at St. Paul Downtown Airport. Commission Executive Director Jeff Hamill explains, quote, "Prior to developing the flood wall in 2009, flooding sometimes cost hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage and closed St. Paul Downtown Airport for weeks at a time. The flood wall is designed to protect the airport against a 100-year flood, safeguarding infrastructure and minimizing operational impacts," unquote. This is the fourth time the flood wall has been deployed at the airport, having been erected once in 2009 and twice last year. The 9,500-foot dike includes permanently installed sheet pile wall and additional temporary sections which can be deployed in about a week. If you're flying into KSTP, check NOTAMs for runways which may be closed, shortened, or have their thresholds displaced during flood season. The wall will remain in place until the danger of flooding has passed. And finally today, stunt pilot Spencer Suderman fell a bit short in his attempt to break the world record for an inverted spin Friday. Suderman lives in Camarillo, California, and began his attempt at 18,000 feet over the El Centro Naval Air Facility. KXO Radio reports that when he finally leveled off at about 1,500 AGL, he had completed 64 rotations. But the record set by airshow performer Wayne Handley in 1989 was 78 consecutive turns. Suderman told the station that he had originally planned to start this spin at 25,000 feet, but didn't say why he had opted for the lower altitude. He added that the attempt was fun, but wouldn't say if he'll make a second record attempt. I have the same question for Suderman that I have for figure skaters. How in the world do you count turns while that's going on? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with ballooning legend Tom McConnell about 40 years of history at Albuquerque and a book commemorating the balloon fiesta, which will be available soon. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.